Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Are you ready to take hold of some information that you can use? I hope so, because that's what we try to bring to you each day, each week, each month, throughout the year. Today is no exception. As a matter of fact, I am encouraged to start out with a question that goes like this. Is there usually a rhyme and reason to the way our leaders fund schools? A rhyme and a reason to the way they fund schools. My guess is yes. One of the things that I'm finding out more and more about leaders, whether we're talking, and right now, of course, since I'm talking about funding schools, I'm talking primarily about political leaders. And one of the things that is becoming more and more clear to me as I, you know, try to learn a little bit more here and a little bit more there about this topic, about that topic, is that our leaders know what works. They know what works. They know how systems work. And so as a result, they know how to break the system so that the system does not work the way it should work for all the citizens. And so we know that for years, decisions were made by some of our elected officials, particularly on the state level, is where I'm focusing right now, particularly the state level, not only the state level, because I know bad decisions can be made on the national level and go all the way down to the local level, causing pain. We saw that happen. 2008, we had that great recession. But just focusing right now on the state level and educational funding, we know that our elected officials are pretty intelligent people. And so they know how to make decisions. They know which decisions will lead to prosperity for the people. They know which decisions will eventually lead to austerity for the people. And so, for example, cutting taxes when times are good. In other words, and remember what I've shared with you so many times before, when we say cutting taxes, we're talking about cutting revenues. When we talk about cutting revenues, we're simply talking about cutting income. And so one of the things that we find is very often people know how, you have a lot of people who know how to frame something in such a way that they make it sound like they're convinced that they're doing us a lot of good, when they know that really they're making a decision that's going to hurt. It is intended to hurt. The decision is intended to hurt, even if not right away down the road. And so we have elected officials who will really, really emphasize the importance of cutting income, cutting income, cutting income. You can best believe they don't want their personal income cut. But when it comes to state income, they jump at the opportunities to cut income. Which means, of course, they have the less income they have to provide services for the people of the state, including educational services, including education itself, teaching, etc. Less money to pay for teacher salaries, less money to pay for school supplies, etc. Now, things are bad enough that you have teachers at predominantly white schools going into their pocketbooks, literally going into their pocketbooks and their wallets to help buy some of the supplies that are needed to really help provide a good quality education for their students. How much worse do you think it is in schools that are predominantly black in urban areas where the tax base isn't as strong because the people don't earn as much money? And then you have elected officials who really, really like to focus on cutting income, state income, so that there's less money in the state to help educate our citizens. And when they cut, when they reduce the income, when times are good, times get really bad, and they cut some more. We've got to cut. We've got to cut. They were saying they it was only right that they cut when times were really, really good and money was pouring in, because they needed to give that back to the people. Now, that's the way they framed it. Again, like they're doing us a favor. And then when times got hard, hey, we have no choice but to cut. So they cut income even more. So they cut income when times are good, and they cut income when times are bad. And then, of course, the next thing is, well, look, if we've had to make cuts, that means we're not going to have the funds we need to pay for this, to pay for that. And so one of the areas where those same elected officials have always chosen to cut is in the area of education. One of the areas where we most need to avoid cuts. Now, remember, during the more prosperous years, the tax cuts / revenue cuts / income cuts were not necessary. And of course, these people have the intelligence that they do really have, knew that it would be much, much better, rather than reducing the income, letting it stay where it was. Not increase taxes / revenue / income, but let it stay where it was, so that they could be building up funding for emergencies, for the hard times, for the lean times. And it's interesting that a lot of these elected officials go to church and know the story of Joseph in Egypt. They know about Joseph having been released from prison after the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had some dreams, but didn't know what they meant, didn't know how to interpret them. And so one of his servants told him about Joseph and the ability God had given him to interpret dreams. So the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, told Joseph what his dreams were, and giving him the ability to interpret, in essence, God revealed to the king that there were going to be years of plenty in Egypt, where they were going to have all kinds of growth in their crops. They were really going to be prospering big time. But those years of prosperity were going to be followed by years of lack, austerity, where they weren't going to be producing much of anything. And so they wanted to know, what should we do? Joseph said, listen, this is what you do. In those years of plenty, in the years of great prosperity, save, save, save. Store up and store up and keep storing up, so that when the time of lack comes, and you're no longer able to produce, then you begin to fall back on what you will have spent years, not just a few months, years storing up. And all the years, every year that they had plenty, they did not say, cut back on your income. Stop bringing the income in. Stop. Nope. They let that income remain where it was, and they just kept storing up more and more and more. They just kept saving more and more and more. And when the hard times came, the hard times were hard times. But they didn't have everybody in the nation dying, because they had stored up so much. They had spent years. Every year that they had plenty, they saved out of that plenty. They stored up out of that plenty. And as a result, although the times were truly tough, they were able to help people from other nations, including Israel, and including the Israelites, peoples from other areas coming for help. A lot of these elected officials go to church. They know this very simple yet powerful story of saving, saving, saving. Every year that you have plenty, don't reduce your income, save and store up, store up and save. So that when, not if, when the tough times come, you can fall back on all that you spent years saving up. They cut when times are good, and they cut when times are hard. Not all of our elected officials, just some of them. And as a result, there's more pain than is necessary. Some pain that could be avoided is not avoided. Oh, but wait a minute. Is that the plan? Is the plan to make sure that the pain is spread as deep as it can be spread? Remember Lee Atwater's admonition years ago. Make the decisions that are going to cause pain. And he said, he didn't say that the way I said it, but I just simply summed up what he was getting at. When you talk about states' rights and other things that he said would, as he put it, would cause pain, it would hurt white people, but it will hurt black people more. Our elected officials have decades and centuries of previous decision-making history to look back on, to know what hurts and to know what helps. And they've made decisions that disproportionately hurt, cause pain in the black community. When it comes to all the ramifications of all those income cuts and their consequential cuts to educational funding, one of the very areas where so many people love to say people ought to be pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps, and they talk about education being one of those ways, getting good education being one of those ways that people can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And then they make decisions that they know are going to lead them, that they know will lead them to offer excuses, reasons as to why they're now making cuts to education. One of those critical areas that empowers people to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. With most of the pain being felt, most of the disempowerment being foisted upon communities of color. Well, unfortunately, that is a very, very sad truth, because that is a passion that many, many leaders all across this country have. Now, that said, later this hour, approximately 1:30, I'll be joined by Dr. Stephen Owens. He is not going to share this from the perspective I just shared it. We are going to talk about this, though, regards to educational matters. Dr. Owens is going to speak with me about ways that Georgia can educate, can distribute educational funds across the state fairly, distributing educational funds across the state fairly, so that we are doing right by all of Georgia's student bodies. Around 1:30, we'll be having that conversation, so I definitely want you to be listening up. He's going to share specific steps that can be taken in order to fairly fund education in Georgia. When we come back, let's take a look at some more of the highlights of events that occurred in 2018, including some discoveries, medical discoveries, and things like that. Back in just a few.